In this podcast, I want to talk to you about using tempos that are slightly uncomfortably fast for you. In the previous podcast, I was talking to you about working with really slow, long strokes, extraordinarily long, which generally means pretty slow tempos, unusually slow tempos as well. So we're kind of going on the opposite side of that spectrum to looking at strokes that are going to be shorter, but we're not really focused on them being shorter. We're just focused on the strokes being executed more quickly. So it's going to really help to use a tempo trainer for this, because then you're going to be able to use really precise numbers, and your brain perceives tempo differently. If you had no measuring device like a metronome, like a tempo trainer, your perception of timing would likely vary from day to day, or even during the middle of a swim. The beginning may feel rushed, and then it may feel easy, and then later on it feel rushed, all while you're swimming at the same tempo, because your body changes a bit and your perception changes a bit. So using a tempo trainer is going to be a really good way to hold yourself accountable to a fixed tempo. And it's going to give you a better reference point when you're comparing your performance from day to day. So when you're working with faster tempos, what we're looking for is stimulating your nervous system to become more and more refined at the skills that it's working on. So once you've, or when you've started to work with a new skill, or you're a new swimmer, initially you're just going to want to work with your movements that are at a comfortable tempo, so that it's easiest for you to concentrate and control your body. But at some point that's going to get more familiar, and then it's time, and it's going to get easier for it, and then it's time for you to challenge that, those skills further. Okay? And your brain needs that in order to grow, in order to strengthen those connections. If you always stay at the same easy speed, you're actually not going to grow very well in your capabilities. So you need this, you need to kind of maintain an edge of challenge to a lot of your work to keep it growing. And when you think about working with faster tempos, I put little quotation marks around that word faster, that's relative to what is comfortable for you right now. So let me give you some numbers. If we were going to use a tempo trainer and set it to mode one, that's tempo, and it's recording numbers in strokes in terms of seconds per stroke. So you're going to see a number on the dial that's like 1.4, and that means 1.40 seconds. And let's say 1.40 seconds is comfortable for you right now. You're able to move your skills at that tempo, able to hold precision, it's getting familiar, not too much challenge anymore. So I'd recommend that you increase the tempo, which means the number gets smaller, which means tempo is getting faster. There's fewer seconds between beeps. That you would maybe bump it up by like 0.05 or 5 clicks of the button. So from 1.40, you would click it up to 1.35. So a 0.05 increase in challenge, and then work on your skills right there at that level. And you'll notice if you work there a while that it's a little bit more challenging. If you find it very challenging, like you really have to concentrate and you can just barely maintain the precision if you concentrate really well, that's a good sign that it's at a nice challenge level. You want it so that you have to concentrate with your best attention in order to maintain, you know, 70%, 80% success rate in your precision. If you find that still like 90 to 100, pretty easy, then you probably haven't increased the tempo enough to challenge it. If you find that your failure rate is, or your success rate is lower than like 60%, like half and half, then maybe you had a little too much of an increase in the tempo too soon. So in that case, if you went up by 0.05, that was a little too much. Maybe only go up about 0.03, 3 clicks of the button, and try that. All right. If you still find it easy at 0.05 increase, then maybe go up to 0.08 or 0.10. So 0.1. So you could go from 1.40 to 1.30 and try it there. But anytime you make these steps, you want to bump it up, find that right challenge level, and then you want to work there for a while. In a single practice, you want to work there at that tempo. And then maybe over the course of two or three practices, you would continue to work right there at that challenging tempo. And then you would notice over the course of a few practices that what previously felt difficult to you now is getting easier and easier. So before 1.4 was comfortable, 1.3 was uncomfortable, but just you were just able to maintain a decent success rate. Then all of a sudden after two or three practices, you notice, hey, it's pretty easy for me to maintain presence. This feels comfortable now. So then it would be time for you to increase the tempo a bit more. Now, as you're increasing those tempos, if you're working in the 1.4, the 130s, the 140s, you can make these increases of tempo in the 500s or even a tenth of a second, and you can do these kind of jumps. If you get down into the teens and the zeros in your 1.0s or the 1.1 and above, if you're in that range, you may need to start making smaller changes in tempo. So instead of 500ths increases, you will do 300ths increases. So a little bit smaller. Because as you get down to faster and faster tempos, we're reaching some objective limits, some objective difficulties that are difficult for all humans. And so when you get to these faster and faster tempos, you're going to need to make smaller and smaller incremental changes, and it's going to take a little bit longer for your body to adapt. So there is some absolute limits for human beings. So just keep that in mind. Initially, you can make big jumps. Later on, as you're getting more and more refined, you're getting faster in your swimming, you have to make smaller incremental jumps. So the benefits of using faster tempos is that your brain is being stimulated to execute the same choreography, but do it in a shorter period of time. So each stroke, same stroke mechanics need to happen. Your arms and your body has to move through all the same choreography, but it has to do it a little bit faster than it was doing it previously. And your brain then, beyond what you're conscious of, your subconscious brain is going to be problem solving this and looking for ways to carry out the commands that you're giving your body. And this subconscious activity is what starts stripping down the motion, stripping it down so that it's using just the essential neuromuscular patterns and using just the essential amount of muscle units, recruiting just the essential amount of muscle units to execute that movement. So it's really, really good for us to work at these tempos that are slightly uncomfortable. Even if you are already dialed in the tempo range for your event, you're already kind of there, you're already capable of swimming comfortably in this tempo range that's suitable for the speed that you want to swim for certain events, it's still good for you to work at occasionally at tempos that are slightly uncomfortable, because it's just going to make your target tempo range feel even easier to you. So imagine, it's like the same idea of, let's say you're going out running, and so for part of your workout, you put on little weights on your ankles, like you put a little 1 or 2 kilogram weights on your ankles, and you go running, and then you take them off, your feet are going to feel super light, right? You're going to be a little bit stronger, but the perception, the feeling of running is going to feel lighter and faster because we tricked the brain a bit. So if you do that in swimming with faster than comfortable tempos is in a very similar way, tricking your brain into finding your normal tempos more comfortable. So that's really good there. Also, the movements, you're going to find that when you're working at these slightly uncomfortable tempos, that you're going to struggle with the precision. It's going to be harder for you to hit those spots. But see, you're concentrating more on that. You're noticing when you're off. You're getting better at detecting when you're off of your ideal. And the struggle that you have to make your body do what you intended to do within that fixed time frame is also strengthening your ability to maintain precision. So even though it feels like a struggle, the very focused struggle is what's making you stronger. Just imagine, again, going into the gym and lifting weights. It's when you, it's not when you're, let's say you're gonna do 20 repetitions of a certain weight, and you know that you've picked a weight that towards the end of those repetitions, it's gonna start to get difficult. Let's say after 15 reps, the last five are gonna be more difficult for you to lift. Well, the real work, the real strengthening work is actually happening in those last five repetitions, not in the first 15. You're actually just doing the first 15 with precision in order to get to the last five that are really gonna challenge your muscle fibers and your neuromuscular connections. And that struggle, the right kind of struggle, is what is gonna provoke the growth in the neuromuscular connections, and it's gonna do the little micro tears in the muscles, which then have to be repaired, which then makes the muscle fibers bigger and stronger. So it's the, so you have to view it in that way. You're creating challenges for yourself that grow these neural muscles, so to speak. Of course, the neurons are connected to the muscles, so it is neuromuscular. But I want to think of those circuits also kind of being like muscles. They need to be strengthened, and the only way they get strengthened is when you challenge them, when the work becomes difficult, but you're just barely able to be successful at the task that you set for yourself. So that's giving you a little primer on how we want to develop ourselves neural-wise and muscular-wise, and using slightly uncomfortably fast tempos to do it. All right, if you have any questions about that, you can give me an email or a shout in some way, and I'd be glad to answer those for you. Take care.